KBEC, Waxahachie.
Stay in the game at sports.kbec.com. Complete coverage of Ellis County sports from Classic Texas.
KBEC.
Sports.kbec.com presents The Press Box. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpet in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpet. The Press Box is your source for Ellis County High School sports. Give us a call at 972-923-1390, option 1. And now, here's tonight's show.
Now I hit the button. I did hit the button. Chad, are you there?
I'm here.
There you are.
I got you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
I can now. I don't know what was going on.
Oh, good. So my faux pas of missing my timing may not have gotten heard, but then I just gave it away to our audience that I missed my timing. So
that's
that
right.
Really doesn't matter.
You did it perfectly. And as far as we know, it was still perfect. So.
Okay, there you go. It's commensurate with my salary.
That's right. Hey, all of your interns showed up down here. You didn't take them down there with you?
I forgot to take them on my remote broadcast for tonight. And beautiful, sunny, humid, hot, rainy, sunny. I already said sunny. No wind. San Antonio, Texas. Oh. That's where I would be located tonight.
All right, San Antonio. Well, of course, in the other studio over there, and I did have his button pushed, there's Adam sitting there.
No, good evening, Adam.
He didn't turn on his button. I got his button on, but he doesn't have his button turned on over there.
We got a plethora of stuff.
It's messed up like a soup sandwich, right?
Here I am.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, there you are.
Had the volume stated it down a little differently, but we'll go with that.
Oh, you had the little slider down. Okay. Yep. There we go. Now we got everybody all cooking with gas.
Everybody is live and accounted for.
That's right. Programming on the air. That's what we do.
That's what we do occasionally, anyway.
So you're in San Antonio today?
Yeah, there's a little trade show going on down here that I needed to attend and play a little part in, I guess you could say, having to do a safety in the workplace. And man, I got to talk about a lot of safety stuff today, so I guess it's all good. We're safe.
We're glad.
You know what they used to call that in the Navy, right?
It was being safe?
Yeah, no, it was called the safety stand down. We all had to stand down while we learned about safety.
Oh.
So you were
as opposed to stand up?
That's right, exactly. It was a safety stand down, which was good because we could sleep through most of the safety stuff and get ready to get back to the real world.
Yeah, because if you had to stand up, then it'd be hard to sleep.
Isn't that right? Well, I don't know. In the Navy, you learn how to sleep standing up.
Yeah.
If anyone could do it, it's Dave.
That's right.
Speaking of stand up. Stand up.
I think he sleeps about half of our shows, actually. I don't know that for a fact, but I just have this feeling.
I'm just trying not to get caught. That's all I'm doing.
There you go.
Hey, how about, guys, speaking of stand-up, we got some stand-up performances in Ellis County.
Oh, yes.
What if I told you that there was an Ellis County team still playing ball at this time of year, almost 2 weeks after school got out?
It's pretty shocking, but that means that they could only be playing one type of ball, I think.
Yes, sir. The stick ball. Yes, sir.
The stick ball.
Yes, sir.
With the jewels, the diamond.
Only four bases, though.
Only four
Chad.
Bases,
Chad. Only four bases. Yeah, they hadn't figured it out that it'd be a lot better if there was more bases.
Hey, hear me out on this. How cool would it be if you could run either way? So you could go third to second to first? First to second to third.
But in my rule book, I implemented that a long time ago.
Oh, I love it.
The left-handed batter is at an unfair advantage. He doesn't have as far to run.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so I've always thought that if you batted left, you had to go to third first or go that route, you know. Okay. And if you bat right, you go that route. But you could have two players on one base, but they're going in different directions.
I love it. I'm good with that.
But really, I think so, too, because then think about your fielder's choice. Which way are you going to go?
Boy, yeah. I love it, man.
But then it wouldn't be baseball. It would
they
be
want
cricket.
To make the game more exciting. That's how they need to talk to me. That's how you make the game more exciting.
But
I'm just saying.
Question, though, isn't that how they do it in cricket? You hit the ball and you run back and forth between the wickets? Isn't that how they do it in cricket?
I do not know.
Isn't that how they do it? I'm asking the question,
man. We cover
sports
in Ellis County, and they don't play cricket in Ellis County.
It's a very popular international sport, but I do not
know
much about
it. You do not know that.
I don't.
They don't play some cricket around here somewhere.
I do know where the Houston area cricket complex is, because it's not in Houston, it's in Waller. I pass by there all the time, and I haven't watched them. Well, I haven't watched them play, but I have driven by while they were playing. Yeah, I don't really understand the game of cricket. I know that it can go on for days and days.
Yeah.
I'm really
well. The only thing I know about cricket is that's where we get the term "sticky wicket" from, and that's because you have to knock the wicket. You have to knock the bar off the wicket to stop the runs. And so if you that's all I know about. That's where we get the term sticky wicket from is from.
Well, here's my proclamation for tonight. Of all the things that I prepared for to put out the most incredible broadcast tonight's show as possible, if I would have made a list of 1,263,000 things, mm-hmm. Cricket would have not have made the list, but yet what do we find ourselves? That's how diverse we are. That's how flexible we are here at the mighty little press box.
Hey, I'm not
at
here
the world
just...
broadcast headquarters of KBC Radio. Hey, we even bring cricket into the mix.
I'm not here.
And
just
I'm not
for
so
being...
sure that by the time the night's up, we might not even touch on lacrosse. We possibly
you never
could.
Know. Hey, you know
you
what? I'm not here just to be a pretty face or a comic relief. I'm here to add content.
So there you go. You did a good job there, Yo-Yo, under your exquisite production.
Yo-Yo mentioned stopping the runs. We got the Maypearl Panthers playing in the 3A state semifinals. They're playing this Friday at 9 a.m. at the Dell Diamond, and they'll be playing against the Boyd Yellow Jackets. And then on the other side of the 3A bracket, we got Corpus Christi London playing against Wall, and that game will be played at noon. And then on Saturday, June 10th, the championship game will be played at 9 a.m. at Dell Diamond. So we wish Coach Robertson and the Maypearl Panthers the very best, representing Ellis County. Way to go, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. At this point, there is no series, really. So it's a straight-up bracket tournament. You lose, you go home. Mm-hmm. And they're down to the four teams in each division. And if I'm not mistaken, I think all the games are played at the Dell Diamond.
There's one other stadium, the UFCU Dish Falk.
Okay, so that's where the Mighty Hook'em Horns play.
Yeah.
So it's in the same neighborhood, so to speak. Dell Diamond's in Round Rock, and just down the road is Dish Falk Field.
And it looks like every 1A, 2A, 3A, 5A, and 6A are at Dell Diamond, but 4A is at Dish Falk.
Okay.
There you go. Go figure.
Yeah, well, Mr. Dish's grandson must play for a 4A team or something. Who knows?
Moving on, in other Ellis County news, we got C.J. Noland, former Waxahachie basketball great, transferring from the University of Oklahoma, just announced on Twitter a couple hours ago that he's going to be transferring to the University of North Texas.
That is interesting news because he had declared that he was going to St. Louis University or the University of St. Louis. And so I was prepared and trying to dial in and figure out where I could maybe watch me a little St. Louis basketball. And then I hear this news. So if nothing else, it makes it easier for me to keep track of him. You know, it'll be easier to find games at North Texas than it will for St. Louis. So,
yes, sir.
Good for CJ.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and let's go back to Maypearl baseball real quick. And you may have said this, and I may have missed it, but they play next Friday. Is that correct, in the morning?
So, yes, sir. They will play Friday, June 9th, so this upcoming Friday at 9 a.m. at Dell Diamond.
So they got – I know they beat West last weekend in a series to continue moving forward.
So good
for them. I mean, you know, Adam, you've got Maypearl ties. I mean, was this expected, or did they realize they had a team that was good enough to make it that deep into the tournament?
Yes, it's interesting we bring that up. So, you know, the last couple of years, Maypearl had been a third round team in baseball, and they couldn't get over that hump of Gunner, however you pronounce it. But
I say Gunter. I don't know. Am I saying it wrong, Yo-Yo?
Well, I don't know, man. Everything in Texas, people correct you on how you pronounce a city or a town. But
you're outside my expertise right now.
Okay.
So
all right.
Maypearl ended up moving from Region 2 into Region 3. And so they're not in that region anymore. Nonetheless, in a very tough district. And they actually beat West in district games earlier on the season. Then they, ironically enough, come up against them in the regional finals game. And it was a three-game series, a great series. The last play, the winning play, actually was a throw from sophomore catcher Tyson Brooks to senior shortstop Cole Rager. To pick off a steal attempt, and that's how the game ended. There's a video of it up on Twitter. Maypearl crowd went nuts. Awesome job by two really good athletes. And, I mean, they've always been very, very solid in baseball. It was just breaking through that glass ceiling of the third round, and they've blown it out, and here we are. They're in the state semifinals. It's awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah, it's a fun time. Those are fun baseball games when you go to the Dell Diamond and – you know, it's a big stadium and all that, but it's not like they're playing in, you know, Minute Maid or where the Rangers play, Globe Life or anything like that.
Yes,
so it is. It makes for a fun day of baseball to catch a bunch of games back-to-back-to-back and all of that. So
good for
them. For sure. Hey, so let me ask about this. Let's shift over, if we can, and go back to a little bit of holiday talk. Last weekend, we got off, if y'all remember. It seems like we didn't, but we did.
Right.
Because the time flies. But how was y'all's Memorial Day? Did y'all memorialize in perfect fashion?
We did do the hamburger and everything, and then I called a couple of my Navy buddies, and we discussed we have lost a couple of our shipmates, so we kind of tipped our hat to them and it took a little bit of time to honor them guys, and then basically just tried to get ready for our big move that we've moved from our apartment here in Waxahachie. We've moved over to Ennis, and so we're just wrapping that up today. So,
I got you. So you're a defector of Waxahachie?
Not a defector. No, sir. Not a defector, because the wife's still going to be working here. I'm still going to be working here. But her main office.
So you earn your money in Waxahachie, but you spend it all in Ennis.
Her main office has moved to Corsicana, and so we wanted to be halfway between. So here we are.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't let us hear that you moved to Corsicana. That'd be really bad.
There was some discussion about that, but I turned out and put my foot down and said, nay, nay.
Yeah, good for you.
Nay, nay, not going
to
do that.
Way to wear the pants in your family, Yo-Yo.
Hey, that's once in a row.
Hey, we got a guest in studio.
We do right now.
If you haven't heard, the mighty Waxahachie Indian football team has hired a new offensive coordinator. And Coach Scott Reynolds is in studio with us. So why don't we go to a break? We'll sell a few things. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of football in the early summertime. How about that, Yo-Yo?
All right, let's do it. Okay, here's what we're going to do. First, I'm going to tell you all about Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning in Waxahachie, providing superior HVAC expertise that you demand for the highest quality results for your AC repair and heating needs. Call today at 972-834-2568. 972-834-2568, or learn more about all of their HVAC contractor services. That's Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. We'll be right back with more sports right here on your hometown radio, KBEC.
Memories are precious. Special recollections brought back from somewhere inside each of us. At Bose Mitchell McKibben Funeral Homes, we specialize in memories. When the time comes to reflect, our attention to the treasure of your memory sets us apart. Each memory is precious, much like the life of those we remember. Honoring the lives of those we love. Bo's Mitchell McKibben Funeral Homes in Waxahachie, Innocent, Italy. A tradition of caring.
Attention businesses of all sizes affected by COVID-19. The federal government has introduced the Employee Retention Credit. It's a new relief program that allows you to collect up to $26,000 per employee. If your business was forced to close due to COVID-19 or you lost 20% or more of your sales, you may qualify for free financial relief. There's no limit to the amount you can file for, and you don't have to pay the money back. Call Park Settlement now. They'll explain to you how much you qualify for and how fast the funds can be in your business bank account. To find out if you qualify for the ERC program, call Park Settlement right now for details. There's no upfront cost to you, and you can receive up to $26,000 per employee. Call right now for details. 800-509-1238. 800-509-1238. 800-509-1238. That's 800-509-1238.
KBEC. And now back to the press box on KBEC.
Man, that went perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. Can't believe I'm hitting my cues perfectly on time.
Well, now that we got all the buttons pushed, I mean.
Yeah, well, exactly, you know, and I mean, I'm going totally blind and all of that chat.
Hey,
okay.
Before we go too far, I just want to say for the folks down in Forreston, you need to kind of watch out. You got thunderstorms just passing through that area, heading right over to Maypearl. So
there you go.
So watch out, guys.
Be careful out there. Yes, for sure. Okay, so as we introduced or teased or whatever you want to call that prior to going to the break there, in studio we have none other than Coach Scott Reynolds of the mighty Waxahachie Indians, and he has recently been hired as the offensive coordinator. And, Coach, are you with us?
I'm here.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. We do appreciate it.
I appreciate the invite.
We realize you got a busy schedule, I guess, and got some stuff with 7-on-7 going on, which is always exciting to hear, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, Coach, if you could help us out, I mean, who is Scott Reynolds? Where'd you come from, and what was your connection, or how'd you get here?
Well, I grew up in a big town of Cooper, Texas, about an hour 45 northeast of here. Population 2,500, so it's a tiny place right in between Commerce and Paris. So I graduated from there in 2006, played football under Lance Angel. Walked on to Southern Arkansas in 2006 and earned a scholarship there. That's where I met Coach Tollison. He coached me. He's my running back coach there. So I've known him and his family for a while. So I left college in 2010, and I actually drove 18-wheelers for a few years while I was getting my teacher certification.
How about it?
And then I've been in Van, Texas the last 9 years, coaching ball out there, and been the offensive coordinator the last 5 years. So been in a great place the last 9 years, but it was time for something new. It was time for a new challenge.
So in Cooper, Texas, would you be the best football player to come out of Cooper, Texas, or the second best? Because there's a pretty good one that came out of there.
Not
right?
Even close to being the best one. I was a really good high school football player. I'm a long ways down the line. It's been several big names that's come out of there.
Could you rattle off a few of those for us?
Well, Bam Morris is obviously the 1994 Doug Walker Award winner.
Right.
I'd say he's the best one. And his brother, Ron Morris, ran a 10-200 and played at SMU back in the heyday when the Pony Express was around. So
right.
It'd be hard to top those two guys.
I've driven through Cooper, Texas numerous times, and it is kind of funny how you drive through, and no offense by this, because please believe me, I grew up in a sleepy little town too, right? So, but you drive through this sleepy little town, and all of a sudden, then there's these two ginormous houses, and you look at them and go, yeah, I think the NFL probably paid for those two houses right there.
Yes, sir.
Fun stuff. So that's great to hear, though. So you've got long standing with Coach Shane Tollison and all of that. What can we expect from Coach Reynolds offensively, I guess? Or what do you see that needs to be changed to make our – we had a good little team this past year, right? And obviously our expectations from our community are leaning in that direction, right? And or we're trending that way, so we want to be better, right? So what can we expect from Coach Reynolds?
Right. I don't know if change is the word for me. This team won 10 football games last year, which is a big feat. It's not easily done. Fortunately, I've been a part of 5 of them in my 9 years of Van, but it's a tough accomplishment. So I'm coming in to build. Like you said, the expectations are high. I have high expectations of myself offensively. We need to be the best offense in this area. I know the team we're going to put on the field defensively. You know that for a fact. You know we're going to play outstanding defense. So if we can be the best offense in this area, man, we got a chance to be really special. And I think we have the parts in place right now to be able to accomplish that.
That's awesome. I mean, that's for me personally, that's exactly what I wanted to hear, right? Because we are a defensively sound team. By no means do I want to shed a negative light or take anything away. But Tolleson, in my opinion, did an incredible job this past season with they weren't below average athletes by any means, but they weren't the most athletic kids on the field. But, boy, he got the absolute most out of them, in my opinion. You know, he took some really good high school football players and made them great football players is what I guess what I'm trying to say. And strive towards that same idea? I mean, I'm assuming you're going to throw it all over the place. That's what everybody is doing. But is that a correct statement?
Well, throw it all over the place. It depends on the team we have. We're going to base around the zone read. We're going to be spread and multiple. But it depends on who we are. I've played years where we had 4 or 5 great receivers, and we threw it all over the yard. And I played with a sophomore quarterback last year, and we had to get in 2 tight end and 2 H-back and run the football at people and play great defense to get wins. So I think that depends on our team. I don't see us throwing it all over the yard next year. We're going to throw and catch the football at a high rate, but we're going to run the football. We're going to be physical. People hear spread often and think non-physical. We're going to be a physical football team. You cannot win games in November, December if you can't run the football at people.
When you applied for the job, did Tolleson let you know that both Duncanville and DeSoto, the 2 state championship teams, are in our district?
Well, I keep up with it, and I watch those games that y'all played. And really and truly, that's one of the things that drew me to the job. It was an opportunity for me to come and compete against the absolute best district in the nation. We can say otherwise, but this is the best district in the nation with the teams that Duncanville is going to field, the team that DeSoto, Cedar Hill has played for a state championship in recent years. Obviously, we're excited about what Watch Hatch is going right now. Lake Ridge is in here. It's top to bottom the most competitive district out there, and there's no off weeks.
There's not. Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more. You know, some people would say, well, Cedar Hill had an off year, all that. I don't think they did. I think we had a great year is what I think we had. We brought a lot more to the field, you know, on Friday night against them than what they were expecting to see. And in our games against Duncanville and DeSoto both, I mean, we competed with them. Yeah, okay, they beat us, but we competed with both of those teams right down to the end. The score was slanted a little bit in that Duncanville game, but the final score was not indicative of the way the game played out at all, in my opinion. So, I'm super excited to we're close, man. We're just about 6 weeks away. We're fixing to get it on, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
It'll be here before you know it.
Coach Reynolds is Adam Olson here, man. So let's talk a little bit about summer and give us a breakdown of what the Waxahachie Indians are getting done this summer, just as far as I think sometimes it gets lost. You know, people are used to seeing that product on a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday night, all right? But can you talk to us about what goes on behind the scenes just as far as summer work, the logistics of making everything work, all the student-athletes from middle school all the way up to high school varsity, girls' side, guys' side, and just how many moving pieces and parts there are?
Listen, I've been in Van the last 9 years. In East Texas, where I would say our kids are tough and they work hard. And I walked in the building here and saw Waxahachie kids working, and I thought, oof, they are getting after it now. Like, it kind of took me back a little bit. So people, like, you're right, people don't understand what goes into it. I walked in the building at 6 a.m. this morning, mm-hmm. and the kids rolled in at about 7:15. Now, I walked out of the door at 4 this evening in the summer. So right now, the varsity players are coming up. They worked out from 7 to 9. They do strength and conditioning. They work out in the weight room. And then we give them – we do a 10-15-minute character talk that we kind of give them a break, to let them get some hot, some fluids in them and eat a little bit. And then we're right back on the field doing skills and football against each other. So we'll go another hour for that. And then they normally break – they normally get off the field about 10:30. And then we start with the young kids from around 10:30 to about 12. We're doing the same thing with those younger kids.
Mm-hmm. And when you say younger kids, are we talking sub-varsity, but in high school? Are we talking junior high? Are we talking both?
Well, most of them sub-varsity, but we got a lot of junior high kids coming up. I think it's trending in the right direction right now. The buzz, the excitement has completely picked up. And you see it when you see the lower levels, the numbers pick up and the turnout rate is really high.
Yeah, I saw Coach Tolleson posting from you guys' youth camp that was just recently completed. And I think he does such a fabulous job on social media promoting it. I see you on social media as well. It's a huge part of the program, right? So, can you talk a little bit, because I'm sure there's some coaches that are listening right now. So you were at Van for 9 years. You've been the OC. You were the OC there the last 5. Can you talk about how you got your start as a coach and how you kind of worked your way up? Because I think that's just lost upon a lot of people today, how hard it is. And there's something to be said for working your way up and working your way through things as opposed to being one and done everywhere you go.
I can't stress how important it is as a young coach to start out on a great staff. Jared Moffitt was the head coach at Van. He's been there for 13 years. He's the offensive coordinator. He didn't run for a long time. He's won 2 state championships. So I was fortunate right away to be put around guys who did it the right way, not only coaching the kids hard, but loving the kids and mentoring me how to be a great coach. So I started off there just coaching receivers. And I was fortunate to land a varsity role right away. So I started out there coaching receivers. In my second year, I was a special team coordinator. So I did that for 2 or 3 years. Zach Hurl left and actually came to Waxahachie. And when he left, yep. I took over the OC role. So it was a chance for me. I kind of rose through the ranks in Van, and everybody kind of seen me grow up and mature as a coach. And it has not been an easy road. It's tough. And like I said, I worked for a guy that the expectation level was high. The standard was high.
So Van, I mean, help me out, Coach. Is Van 3A? What I mean, I know exactly where it is, but I don't know what classification they fall into.
We're 4A. So we were 4A. Big 4A for the longest. The last 2 realignments, we dropped down to small 4A.
Okay. All right. So 4A Division II. What do you see is the biggest difference between a 4A Division II team and a 6A team with an enrollment that's somewhere above average? In, you know, I mean, Skyline, they got a building full of kids over there, and Duncanville has a bunch of kids, and I think we're 3rd in our district enrollment-wise. But I mean, what are you expecting, or what do you see is the biggest difference between those two? I mean, are you expecting more athleticism, or just talk about that a second?
Well, they're going to be more Division I athletes on the field week in and week out. So I was in the district at Van with Carthage and Kilgore and Chapel Hill and those guys. So we saw Division I talent. Obviously, Carthage is a very talented team. They signed 4 Division I guys last year. The difference right here is they're going to be more of them on the field. The windows close a little bit faster. You have to be on time here. You cannot make mistakes because the guys are they're so great athletes that they can make up for it. So, the game of football is going to be the same. The caliber of athlete from top to bottom will be completely different.
That's basically the answer I was expecting to hear. But it just – I've been to some – you know, when it comes to playoff times, I'll go to some games other than Waxahachie or, you know, which is playing at the 6A level, and it's kind of what I've seen. But I just – from a coaching standpoint, I've always wondered, you know, how – if you coach them any different, are you you know, I mean, it's still football, right? There's still 11 kids. When you score a touchdown, it's 6 points, and you got to kick it to get an extra one, you know? So I was just curious.
I don't think you coach them any like I said, we've been out-athleted a lot in Van Texas and have beat a lot of those teams. To me, there's going to come a time where the talent level is even. And then as a coach, it's what have you done as a coach? Can you get that kid to play above his talent level? Like you mentioned Coach Tolleson in the defense earlier, I think he does a great job of getting kids to play maybe above their talent level at times. And to me, that's what coaching is. Can I get that kid to play above his talent level?
That's exactly right, yeah. So as you look at your roster, and I'm assuming you have, but what, I mean, do you have any that you can talk about that you feel like will be one you're expecting them to be a contributor, but I mean, you know, that you're already kind of leaning on to, or you got some level of expectation there for this coming fall?
Well, the first guy right away that jumps to my mind is going to be the quarterback, Ramon McKinney. He's an all-district player last year for him and filled in as a backup role. He's had a really good spring throwing the football, like the ball's jumping out of his arm. So I expect him to be really good next year. We have an all-district receiver coming back, Trent Kidd. I think he's a talented football player. He's going to be hard to cover. I'm going to get the ball in his hands a lot. I'm a player, not plays guy. I want to get the ball to my guys and let them make plays. I'm not smarter than anybody, but I can get the ball to those guys and let them make me look good. Now we got two all-district linemen back. Austin Gardner's back at center for us, and Darryl Martin played right guard for us last year. So we're going to lean on those guys. We're going to be young up front next year besides those two guys, but we got them coming. We're going to be talented up front in the next few years.
Hey, Coach.
Without question. I mean, you got one little kid named Gavin Ford, I think, that taps in about 315 and 6'5", something like that.
He measured this weekend at 6'5", 305. We're going to
piss away.
We expect
My
him
goodness.
To be a
we'll
starter
some
for
biscuits.
Hey, Coach Reynolds. Hey, so let's talk a little bit about are you going to be more of a walk-around coordinator where you get to go watch the running backs, watch the receivers, watch the quarterbacks, watch the line, watch the tight ends, or are you going to coach a specific position as well as be the offensive play caller?
Right now I'm coaching quarterbacks because it's a pivotal position in our offense, obviously, getting those guys ready to go. They've got to think just like me. They got to know why I'm calling plays and understand it. So I'm with those guys. As the season gets rolling more and those guys get comfortable, then I will be kind of walking around and kind of seeing to everybody overall. But, man, I think we just hired a great staff up. So I'm excited to just, hey, let those guys coach ball and let's go get after it.
That's good, Coach.
And that then, is.
Yeah. Coach, are you going to be – how involved are you on a Thursday night or a Wednesday night as far as being present and or coaching the freshman team, the JV team, or the junior high teams? I know you can't do it all, obviously. I know it's a 6A program, obviously. But even your presence there, and I'm sure Coach Tolleson's got a plan for all that. So what is that? Is that something you've even discussed, or do you already know what that looks like, or not yet?
Well, I won't be coaching a junior high team, per se. I will be in the building. That's the bloodline of our program right there. So those guys need to know me. As far as the freshmen go, I will have a lot of say in what's going on with the freshmen and what's going on with the sub-varsity. Those kids need to win, and especially me coming in right now, putting in a new offense, I've got to be heavily involved right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And that's exactly it. I mean, that's what makes a program, right? When they start feeling that in 7th, 8th grade and then just building and building and building, yeah, that's awesome. Well, Coach, we greatly appreciate it. Welcome to Waxahachie. One thing I didn't ask, do you have kids of your own, or do you have sons that play football or anything of that nature?
No, sir, not at this time. It's just me right now.
Okay, good deal. We got your full focus then, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, awesome. Well, man, welcome to Waxahachie. Welcome to the Mighty Indians, and we can't wait to see what unfolds here in 6 or 8 weeks and as we get going in this season, and It'll be here quick, that's for sure, you know.
I appreciate y'all having me on today.
You appreciate bet. Thank you, Coach. Good deal. That's Coach Scott Reynolds, the new offensive coordinator for the Waxahachie Indians. And super excited about that. He's definitely a good interview. I know that because he said all the right things. Everything I was wanting to hear anyway. That's awesome.
I wanted to poke fun at
that,
him a little
we've
bit.
We've got another guest coming into the studio. And why don't we go to break, Yo-Yo, and we'll be back in just a minute. And we will give have a little conversation with Megan White.
All right, here we go.
Equipment cluttering up your backyard? Jet skis taking up space in your driveway? Whether you need an extra closet or garage, Access Self-Storage has the space for you. Meet the friendly, helpful managers who live on site with state-of-the-art surveillance and electronic entry systems. In Red Oak at 561 East Ovilla Road and in Midlothian at 1630 North Highway 67. Committed to safety, security, and service. Access Self-Storage.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-796-1182. 800-796-1182. 800-796-1182. That's 800-796-1182.
Because of the Texas Veterans Commission, I was able to keep my home.
They put me in contact with people, which helped me tremendously.
To find services near you, visit www.tvc.texas.gov/fund.
Now I can go online. Yes, I'm a veteran. Select my service, then my county, and find what I need right there.
I strongly urge each and every veteran to use the Texas Veterans Commission because it's worked for me.
Sponsored by the Texas Veterans Commission.
If you're looking for a way to truly help children in need, become a CASA volunteer. CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocate. It means that you'll represent the best interest of a child in need in court. You work with attorneys and social workers to make sure that child is safe in the foster care system. You won't be a foster parent, but you will be a voice making a real difference at a critical turning point in his or her life. Because every child deserves a chance, and that chance is you. Volunteer today at becomeacasa.org.
KBEC. And now back to the press box on KBEC.
And we are back here at the World Broadcast Headquarters of KBEC Radio, your hometown radio. How's that go, Yo-Yo? Is it your hometown radio station or just your hometown radio?
No, just hometown radio. That's all we're saying.
Hometown radio.
Hometown radio.
I missed the briefing on that.
I did too.
Did we have a meeting about the briefing on that or anything?
Everybody else may have, but it was OJT for me.
I think it was me too. And my OJT came from your OJT, okay, so we've just good. Got a lot of OJT squared or something.
That's right.
Anyway.
Cubed. So,
ladies and gentlemen, in our studios is our next guest, which is Megan White. Megan, are you with us?
Try again.
Uh-oh.
Try it again, Megan.
Yes, I'm here.
You're here. Okay, good deal. So Megan is the widow of Cliff White, the late Cliff White of the Midlothian Panthers, a coach that we lost Cliff due to cancer at the, I guess it was the end of last football season, if I'm not mistaken.
October 16th.
And, I'm sorry, October 6th, is that what it was?
16th.
October 16th, okay. I know it was an untimely death and a really sad occasion, but thank you for being on with us tonight. And
We want to learn a little bit more about Megan White. How about that?
Sounds good. I appreciate y'all having me here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we know you've got some hashtags out there, and you worked really hard to keep Coach White, Cliff White's name, you know, in the, I guess, in the public eye, or, you know, in front of everyone, and to just, nobody wants their loved one to be forgotten about, I guess, but what has happened with that, or what have you done, and what is your ultimate goal, and where are you headed?
So my husband was absolutely without a doubt chosen. He was chosen to shine the light of Jesus to the world. And he knew that, he felt that. And as soon as we heard of his diagnosis, he just got completely determined to not let this have one single ounce of his power and his love for what he did, for the love of his family and his friends. We both talked about it, and we're like, the best way to beat this is to live. And that's exactly what he did. He lived until the day he died. And now he is still living eternally, forever and ever. This cancer stole nothing from my husband, absolutely nothing. And my husband gained everything. Not only that, but his players, his friends, his families, his colleagues, everyone that knew him and everyone has followed this story has also gained everything, because they got to see exactly what true love is. They got to see what amazing grace is, and they got to see what true strength and courage, grit, perseverance really is in my husband. And his fight has inspired not hundreds, but thousands. Not only has he inspired thousands, he has already brought thousands to the kingdom. And he is going to be the reason that other people will get to meet Jesus one day. And I am determined to keep that legacy going as long as I can, as long as I can live and breathe. And I will forever keep everybody on the Fight Like Coach White wave or movement. And I will never let anybody forget what my husband did here on earth. Me and my children will be his legacies, his representations, until it's our turn to go to heaven. I tell Cliff every night in my prayers, I'm going to bring as many people as I can.
That is incredible. I'm a bit at a loss for words, even how to respond to that. But it's, you know, a lady once said to me, you know, she goes, man, we start dying the day we're born.
Yes.
And it had a it's a pretty simple statement, right? It's just something I'd never thought about myself. And it had a profound effect on me, and I thought about that. And obviously, as a youngster, it's difficult to foresee an end or a, you know, but as you get older and older and older, and now I'm 57 years old, you know, I'm a whole lot closer to the end than I am the beginning, right? And so, but that's an incredible testimony you just gave about live every minute as though it's your last. You know?
Yes, sir. I tell all the kids that I speak to, I've been doing a lot of speaking engagements lately, and mostly to high school athletes, and I pick out one of them out of the crowd, and I say, how old are you? And they'll say, you know, 16. And I'll be like, do you think my husband at 16 years old thought he'd be gone at 37? And that hits them hard. They're like,
right.
They're like, no, ma'am. I'm like, that's not very much time. You know, it's not very much time. If you have to 37, that's not much time. I said, son, if you have until 87, that's still not much time. Mm-hmm. When you look at it in the terms of eternity, you know, we don't have much time here. And what we do with our time is absolutely valuable. And it definitely needs to be. My husband said it so perfectly in a speech he gave to his football team at the end of his days. He told all those kids, he goes, listen, he goes, do what you're supposed to do. Have fun doing it, and we'll all party in the end. I got chills just saying it.
Well, it's just, Megan, that's incredible. And so just a little background story here. So you're from, graduated from Crowley High School, where you were a pitcher for the University of Texas softball team.
Mm-hmm.
And so those right there, and then were you state champ at Crowley?
twice.
State champs twice. You're on. She is on the water tower, baby.
No doubt.
Yeah, and so my wife was a classmate of Megan's at Crowley High, but you being in that type of position, you're already going to have a profile and a level of influence, a platform that is bigger than most, and then just seeing at every turn the amount of strength, courage, and faith that you have displayed, and I know when I read what you post, fight like Coach White, live like Coach White, I know when I see that, Cliff smiling and going, that's my lady right there. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am, 100%. And I'm so encouraged by that because you have the opportunity to go out there and profess your faith to young men and young women, and you can demonstrate that godly marriage that y'all had and how you continue to do that as well as to your children. I think that's wonderful. So props mm-hmm. to you. I have a ton of respect for you for that. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'd say I told y'all earlier Cliff was chosen. So was I.
Yeah.
And so were we. We were chosen. When we first met, when we locked eyes, I knew that I was going to marry that man. He was mine. And as soon as I laid eyes on him, and our union was definitely forced in by God. And we did make that decision to keep our relationship as sacred as possible and clean and pure as possible. And we truly wanted to be one in Christ and do it God's way. And we did. And he blessed us abundantly. And excuse me. And our union as husband and wife, we were absolutely a unit of one. And the strength that we had together was powerful, like absolutely powerful. We were so deeply in love and into one to each and as one with each other. And he was my strength. He was my everything. And
yes, ma'am.
He's still in me. He's mm-hmm. still there, and he always will be forever and ever. And you know, and I will always tell everyone about our love story. It's my favorite love story of all time. It was a great example of true love. I know that sounds really kind of corny, a little bit like real Disney-like, but it really truly was. And I am so proud and so honored to be his wife. Being his wife brought out the absolute best in me, and being his widow now is awakening a power I never knew I had. And excuse me, getting a little choked up.
It's all right.
He will absolutely live on in my heart forever and in my children's hearts forever. Y'all, there's something I posted the other day about Cliff White and what I thought was the most amazing thing about him. And you were safe with Cliff White. Mm-hmm. You were safe with him. He judged everyone off their best intentions instead of their biggest flaws. And it didn't matter who you were, how you lived your life, the decisions you made before, whatever, you were safe with him and you felt loved by him and you felt grace from him. You felt like you could be your best self around him. And that is what I am so desperately desire to keep going. And I want people to feel safe around me and my children.
So, Megan, when you mentioned that you've spoken to young kids, young athletes, and I say young, I mean high school age, I'm assuming, and you're getting the word out about Coach White. Well, obviously, I think a lot of the Midlothian knows about Coach White because that's where he was employed and he coached and all of that stuff. So are you speaking to groups outside of Midlothian? And if so, if you could talk about that a little bit, but then also talk about how are you reaching these kids? Is it through social media? And if it is, what platforms can we follow along to learn more as well?
Yeah, for sure. All over the Metroplex. I'm going all over. I'm actually going out of the Metroplex. I've been to Kearns and I've been to Maybank. Those, I think, were my furthest drives so far. I am posting every day on my own personal social media page of Facebook. It's just under Megan Denny White. I'm also posting in the Warriors for Cliff Facebook group page. And I'm also
also on Twitter and Instagram. Again, just Megan Denny White are my handles. And I would love for everyone to follow along and follow our journey. And let's all keep doing what we're supposed to do, which is spread the word. Spread the word, right, and shine the light of Jesus. And let's have a good time doing it. And we'll all party in the end.
Megan.
So if someone wanted you to speak to their group, they can utilize those, like the direct messaging or private messaging through those platforms to contact you. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay.
Megan, when looking to the future, what is your hope? And then can you share one of your favorite, I know you got a ton of them, but one of your favorite Cliff White stories for the audience?
Sure. One of my favorite stories is the first time that we told each other we loved each other. We had just been on a date, just got back to my parents' house, and I asked him if he would go sit on the tailgate with me in the driveway, and we just went out there and we're pretty quiet at first because I was just wanting to scream it from the rooftops and just shout it. But, you know, I'm a girl. I don't want to say it first. So I started crying because, you know, I just got real emotional. And he started to panic. He's like, "Are you breaking up with me?" I'm like, and then I wiped my tears off my face. I said, "No, I'm telling you I love you." And he leaned in and kissed me, hugged me, and he said, "I love you more." And that was one of my favorite stories is that. And I have written a book about my life and my journey in softball and all the nasty storms of adversity I had to face just going from high school to college to professional softball and then into the coaching world. And as soon as I was finished, my editor, my beta reader, she told I finished right before Cliff got diagnosed. And she called me back and she's like, "You got some more to add, young lady." So I finished that book not long ago. I already had another person, had two beta readers read over it and edit it. And we are in the process of the second draft and hopefully getting it ready to be done and published so that everybody can have it in their hands to read all the time and be inspired from it and draw so much power from this book. And Maverick, my son, has actually been praying for a long time now that the book will be turned into a movie, which that would be pretty
Hallmark
cool.
All the way, right?
Well, I'm thinking that Midlothian Panther football season could have been a movie all in itself. But what those boys did, watching their coach deteriorate and just slowly pass into heaven every single day the way they had to, must have been really hard on those kids. And knowing that they were going to have to bury their coach the next day. That Lake Belton game, I'm telling you, I will never forget it as long as I live. The Lake Belton was supposed to beat us. They were supposed to win. They were the favorites. But our boys had something to say about that. And I think Cliff White had something to say about it, too. The last couple minutes of the game, y'all, the Lake Belton quarterback and receiver, they hadn't missed a pass all day. Like, all day. These kids were just nailing it. And it was the craziest thing. It was like somebody just thumped that ball just kind of away from that receiver's hands, and that ball came back into our hands with just a couple of minutes left, and we're ahead by two. All we needed was 6 yards to get a first down, and then we could kneel. And man, Diego Benson, number 7, just gosh, give that kid the ball every time. He gets 6.5 yards. Chad Regal, our quarterback, kneels, and we win. It was just the most magical thing I'd ever seen. And I know the radio guys were up there saying, "We know Cliff White was in on that one." he was by far in the hearts and the spirits of those kids, and those kids just charged into that storm like you wouldn't believe. It was just the most miraculous thing I'd ever seen, and God used football that day to show himself, and it was pretty powerful.
Sports is pretty cool, isn't it?
They are, I'm telling you. Well, I tell everybody that like I just mentioned a second ago, all the storms of adversity I had to face on a softball field, that it's almost like God was preparing me. He was preparing my mind, my spirit, my heart to save my husband and do all the things that I needed to do and have all the qualities I needed to have. You know, just that perseverance, grit, you know, couldn't be shy either. I had to be tough. And he prepared my body and as well, like just all those workouts of torture that we athletes put ourselves through, you know, and just break down our body and our muscles. Well, we do that to build them and get them stronger. Our heart and our mind are no different. And all my life, he was preparing my heart, my mind, and my body to lift him out of that chair.
Amen.
Lay him on the ground and keep him alive as long as I could with all the focus, faithful attitude, and all of my relentless efforts. And I think that was, all of it was preparing me for that. And I'm thankful for all that preparation.
Megan, can you share the title of the book? Are you able to do that?
Well, I was originally thinking Fight Like Coach White. But my beta reader, she actually had a really, really good idea, and I loved it. She said if that book's on the shelf or on Amazon and they'll see coach, it's just going to think it's going to pertain to athletes and just coaches and the people in the sports world, and it doesn't. It pertains to every living human being on the earth. She said, I think you should name it Do What You're Supposed to Do, Have Fun Doing It, and We'll Party in the End. Mm. And I think that's perfect, actually.
Cool. Really, really cool. Well, Megan, we are, unfortunately, we are out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. Maybe when the book comes out, you can come back and tell us more about it. We can share some of the stories in the book and promote it and do our part. But it's a sad story, but it's also an uplifting and positive story, too. So thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks
for having
Megan.
Me.
That is Megan White, the widow of the late Cliff White, former coach at Midlothian High School, assistant football coach over there, and had a really uplifting story at the untimely passing due to cancer and, you know, in his life and all of that. But we thank Megan for being on with us tonight. We thank Coach Scott Reynolds, the new offensive coordinator of Waxahachie, for being on with us. Adam, I thank you for joining along.
Yes, sir.
And all of that. Yo-Yo, your exquisite production is always top-notch. We appreciate that. And with that, guys, I think we got one wrapped up and in the books here. So
sir.
Mm-hmm. Tell them good night, Yo-Yo.
Good night, Yo-Yo!
Listening to the Press Box on Classic Texas KBEC 1390 AM, 99.1 FM, and online at KBEC.com. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpets in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpets. Tune in every Monday night at 6 p.m. for the Press Box. And for more information, go to sports.kbec.com.